There's nothing as important in this world as hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of eternal life. Peter knew that. Peter said, "You have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go?" To search these scriptures that God has given us to see Christ, to see Him who is the light, the life of His people. To gather together with brethren around the foot of Christ to hear this gospel preached is how God gives life in the heart. It's how He knits together the heart of His people. It's how He protects His children in this earth from dogs and whoremongers. That's exactly right. Through the strengthening of His people, through the gospel, the Word of God of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing more important. After telling us of that which He witnessed with His own eyes and heard with His own ears concerning the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and His return, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1, verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy," talking about the Scriptures, "whereunto you do well that you take heed." I've titled the message, "You Do Well to Take Heed." We have a more sure word of prophecy, "whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now the Scriptures that we hear through the gospel declaration are as a light that shineth. That's what this Word of God is. It's a light that shines. He tells us here this is a sure word. The reason it's a sure word is because it's not man's word. It's a sure word. If it's man's word, it's not a sure word. If it's God's word, it's a sure word. You can count on it. It's the revelation of the mind and purpose of God in the salvation of sinners. This is the will of God we're reading about right here. The men that were used to write these scriptures were divinely ordained and gifted of God. Verse 21 says, "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And these men who wrote the New Testament scriptures were moved by the Holy Ghost. Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." It's the Scriptures that we have here, given by God. This is God's Word. That's why Peter tells us, "We do well to take heed. We do well to take heed. Search these Scriptures daily." Like the Bereans, they came to a place where they could hear the gospel preached, and they heard the gospel preached. And Paul preached out of the Scriptures. And what Paul preached were the Scriptures. I know that. You know how I know that? They went home and looked and searched the Scriptures that he preached. They knew what he preached. They searched these Scriptures daily with him in that place, and then in their time, wherever they had the Scriptures to read, they went there and read the Scriptures and looked into these things on a daily basis. And the Scripture says, "And therefore many believed in that place." Many believed in that place. Now the word is this. This is what the Scriptures say. The Isaiah 8:10 says, "To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word," it's not that they're just a little off the mark. It's not that they're missing the mark. Now, we will say things. I've said things from this pulpit that I thought that's a bad statement. And things like that. But what we're looking at in this Word and the tenor of our gospel, the total, complete, sinful devastation of man in sin so that he can't save himself, the complete and total, thorough salvation that's accomplished by the Lord, according to His own sovereign choosing, according to Him choosing His Son to do it, according to Him sending His Son to accomplish it, according to His Son who did accomplish it, according to the Spirit of God who comes in power and regenerates and draws every elect child of God to Christ. Because it's a must. This gospel is the gospel of righteousness. It's the only one. This is the only word that is the gospel of righteousness. A gospel that is of a God who loves everybody, but doesn't really save everybody. That's not even righteousness. That's not righteousness at all. If Christ laid down His life for everybody, but He didn't save everybody, then sin's being punished twice. That's double jeopardy. There's no righteousness in that. The God of that scripture, not even holy, much less able to save. The God of this Bible is the only God who's a righteous God. He's a God who saves in complete righteousness. Now remember, Scripture also, we remember this, it's not interpreted in the light of human wisdom. It don't matter what I think, and it don't matter what you think. This word is interpreted one way, in light of the Holy Ghost teaching us, and comparing Scripture with Scripture. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. You say, why do you read us so much Scripture? Why do you quote so much Scripture? You can't get better than this. You can't get better than this. I'd rather say more just reading this to you and sort of guide you to these Scriptures and let you read them for yourself than for me to just stand up and tell you a bunch of stuff that I think. That won't do you any good. You can't get better than what the Holy Ghost teaches. You just can't get better. I hear folks preach and they'll say so much, and then when they come to Scripture, they'll just read it so fast like it's almost tedious to them and bothersome to have to quote Scripture. Let's look these Scriptures up. Let's read these Scriptures. We speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost, which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Because this, he says here in verse 20, we know this first. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. This is given of God, and we find out what this word means through the Holy Spirit, looking at Scripture to Scripture. The best commentary you will ever find in your life, you're holding in your hands right now. You want to know the commentary on Scripture, look at the Scripture. It's the very best. Somebody said one time, the Bible will shed a whole lot of light on all those commentaries we have in our library. And it sure will. And not the other way around. Not the other way around. Remember that. Don't search the Scriptures to prove what we think is true. Search the Scriptures to see what God says is so. The Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Wise unto salvation. Verse 19 says, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, Peter's writing here concerning the second coming of Christ. He's speaking of this throughout this second epistle. And we're yet, as believers here, who are waiting that day when He comes in great light and brilliance and majesty, we're yet in a dark place. We see through a glass very darkly right now. And there's coming a perfect day. A perfect day when Christ shall return in His full brilliance, and the perfect day shall dawn, and the day star shall arise. There's coming that day. But let's first consider this in light of a sinner's conversion. And then secondly, we'll look at this in light of the believer waiting on that day to come. Now, let's look at this word about a dark place. It says here, it says, a light that shineth in a dark place. This world is a dark place. This world is a dark place. And there's no darker place in this world than the natural heart of a man, the heart that we're born with. There's no darker place. God withdrew all spiritual light when Adam sinned in the garden. When the Scripture says, by one man death entered, and it says, and death passed upon all men, it says, for by one man all died, by Adam all died. This is a death that is so much worse than that death that most men fear, that physical death that most men fear. This is a death that's way worse than that. It's a death that is so dark that we don't know we're dead. It's a death so dark that a man can't know he's dead. That's spiritual death we're talking about. When Adam sinned in the garden, man suffered a total eclipse of God's light, so that we have no spiritual light. We have some natural light of reason and conscience, and it leaves us accountable. It leaves us without excuse. We can look into the heavens and we can see the stars. We can see the sun. We can see the moon. We can see how this world is set on a course, and we can see how that the body is made and these natural things, and it leaves us without excuse. These things didn't just bang into being and start evolving all by themselves. This is God's creation, and a man's without excuse. Without the light of God shining in our hearts, we're all together in darkness. Let me read you a few scriptures. You're welcome to turn here. Isaiah 60, verse 2. The Lord said, "Behold, the darkness." Isaiah 60, verse 2. He says, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." The world's in gross darkness. And as Scott pointed out this morning, that darkness is getting worse. That darkness is getting worse. Because when they knew God, Romans 1:21 says, "They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened." Now, you may be sitting there and thinking about yourself and think, "Well, that's not a description of me. I'm an intellectual sunbeam." Well, that might be true. You might have great brilliance when it comes to natural knowledge and natural understanding of things and being able to study and figure things out. You may have great light when it comes to natural disposition. You might be Mr. or Miss Congeniality. But you might have great knowledge in how to obtain and accumulate and keep wealth. But what you don't have, what no man has by any natural thing in us, is spiritual light. No man has that. God has to give that. We have, by nature, our understanding is darkened. We're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in us because of the blindness of our heart. That's the truth about us. That's Ephesians 4:18. There's two things the natural heart cannot see. Two things that the natural heart cannot see. Sin and righteousness. The natural heart can't see those. We need light to see the darkness of our own sin. We need the light of God. God-given spiritual light to see our own darkness. You ever been in a cave and they turn the light out? When you're in a cave and they turn the light out, you can't see the darkness. When they turn the light back on, that's when you realize how dark it was. When the light's out, you can't see anything but darkness. You don't even know you're in darkness. It's the light that makes you be able to detect the darkness and see how dark it is. We need light to see the darkness of our own hearts. We need light to see the righteousness of God. That's the problem. We think we're righteous and we think we're not sinners. When God shines the light, we find out we are the dead, dark sinner and that God alone is righteous. Christ Jesus is righteous alone. How does that come about? 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, God, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 4:6. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's who put the sun in the sky. God, that's who, he did it by his command. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. That's what we have to have happen. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's when we're going to see righteousness, when we see Christ. When we see the God the Son, that's when we'll see righteousness. So, our text tells us this is a sure word of prophecy, the Scripture. And we do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Do well to take heed to this word, to hear this gospel, because it's the light. It's the light that shines into the dark place of the human heart. It's the light shining in this world. And we do well to take heed unto it until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, let's talk about this day dawn and this day star. Now, we're looking at this, first of all, as it applies to a sinner being born of God and converted by Christ Jesus the light. Like every day that dawns, there's some things that are the same in each sinner when the heavenly light shines and day begins to break in the heart. There's some things that are the same, just like every day when the sun comes up. And there are some things not exactly the same. Not exactly the same in every sinner. Let's look at a few of these things that are the same. Everybody has got to hear the light of truth through the Word. Everybody's going to have to hear the gospel of Christ revealed in these scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing. That's not my word, that's God's word. Faith cometh by hearing. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's God's word. After that, man by his own wisdom couldn't come to God. It's God's word. When you look at these scriptures, I don't care how much you oppose that word and say that these scriptures are the final say, you're going to read the word of a man when you read these word right here. You're going to read a word of a man that God used to write these words down. That's right. He uses means. God does. And that's his prerogative, and that's what he does. We have to be taught the scriptures because we have to be taught about this darkness of our own heart. Man by nature wants to skip over that. Man by nature wants to... That's the thing about studying and having a... You know, I can tell John Gill what he can tell me. I can tell John Calvin what he can tell me. I can turn the page. I can do the same thing picking this book up right here. But when God speaks in the heart, He confronts us right where we are and puts us face down in the dust of our own wretchedness and makes us see what we are. We have to hear it because it's as it is written. As it is written in this book, there is none righteous, no, not one. We have to be taught that. That has to be revealed in our heart by the Spirit of God. Every sinner's got to be taught that Christ is all the believer's righteousness. We've got to have this taught. He's come. He's God come in human flesh, and He has accomplished the work of perfecting His people so that believers, born of the Spirit of God, created in righteousness and true holiness, rest in Christ through God-given faith. We rest in Him. There is a rest that this Jesus has accomplished, that Joshua didn't accomplish, but this Christ did accomplish. And God brings His people into this rest. He's our Sabbath rest. And every sinner that's brought here is brought the same way. And we're brought to the same Christ. And the same cleansing fountain that cleansed this sinner is going to cleanse all of God's sheep. We have to come to the same cleansing fountain. All are justified and made the righteousness of God the very same way. By God the Father's own choosing, by God the Holy Spirit's regenerating and creating anew, by the Son of God who came, Christ Jesus the Lord, and put away the sin of His people by the sacrifice of Himself. It's all by grace and it's through faith. That means it's not of our doing. At all. It's all of God. All of God. If our gospel's hid, it's what the scripture, if our gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We've got to hear this word. Look with me over at Numbers 24. Who is this day star? This day star is the same. The day star that's going to arise in every sinner's heart is the same. You see, it's not a gospel of another star, of some strange star, and then the true day star arises in the heart. The gospel that's sent to God's elect is going to be the gospel of the same day star that's going to arise in the heart of His people. Because it's the day star that's sending it. It's the day star that's sending it. The sun is the day star. You know, you get the analogy here of of nature. The sun coming up in the daytime at daybreak, and that twilight when it's coming up, and that day star arises and day breaks, and there's that day star. There's the sun shining in all its brilliance, and it comes up. It comes up. Numbers 24:17. That day star, that light is Christ Jesus the Lord. This same Lord is going to be made manifest in the hearts of each of His people. Look, 24:17. I shall see Him, but not now. I shall behold Him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. This one who was coming through the lineage of Jacob came through the lineage of Jacob. There shall be a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Now look over at Revelation 22. Revelation 22. I'm going to read a few scriptures to you while you're headed there. Revelation 22. This is what the Word said in Malachi. Last chapter of Malachi says this. It says this. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son, the S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. Talking about the S-O-N. Christ the Son of Righteousness. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. And he ends there by saying, before I come, before that great day comes, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet to you. And he's going to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers before I come. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he told his people, his children, Peter, on that day of that transfiguration we saw last week from 2 Peter. That day, they said, what about Elijah coming? And he said, if you can receive it, he's already come. He's John the Baptist. He came first, and then the day star came. The Son of Righteousness arose with healing in his wings, so that his children tread upon the wicked in this world right now by his grace, by the light of his grace. Look at Revelation 22:16. And I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. David was Jacob's son, right on down the line. The root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He came through that thing just as he said he would. And Christ said, that's who I am. I'm the bright and the morning star. When he was born, those men came to see him, and they said, we've come to see him who's born King of the Jews, because we've seen his star. We've seen his star in the east. That was a token that the day star's come. He's come. The day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. It's Christ our Savior who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's who this day star is. He came forth and he was made sin, this one who knew no sin, and by his bruise and with his stripes, he declared God alone is the justifier of all who believe. It's not according to any work a man does. He is the justifier. This is the great light he set forth in the earth. When the Son of Righteousness arose, the great light that he manifested is God's righteous, and this is how he saves. You're going to come to God in this one, or we ain't coming at all. Christ fulfilled all the law. He fulfilled all the prophets. He's the everlasting righteousness of his people. That's what this light is all about. He comes forth and says, I am the light. I am the light. He shows the righteousness of God. He is that righteousness. We got to completely... Do you care about the law? Does anybody here care about the law? The law of God's holy. The law of God is just. The law of God is good. We've got to obey God. We've got to obey God. And we're born disobeying God. We're born already disobeyed God, already dead. We got to obey God. We got to fulfill His law. That law is righteous. That one who came and not through any extra exertion, just because it was in his heart, because it was the very stuff that his very being was made of. He obeyed God because he's the righteousness. He is himself the lawgiver, and he is himself the righteousness set forth in the law. And he came forth and he obeyed God. He walked this earth and did what no man's ever done. I'm never going to get tired of telling you this. God, if God keeps me, I've read a lot of sermons and I've read a lot of histories and I've read a lot of different biographies, and I've read a lot of men, preachers who died, and said in their dying hour, said, "I wish I would have preached Christ more." I never read a one that said, "I wish I'd have preached more on church government. I wish I'd have preached more on morality." Not a one of them. But I've read a bunch of them that said, "I wish I'd have preached Christ more." Christ Jesus is the righteousness of God. He's the fullness of God manifest in the flesh. And he went and laid down his life. What a sorrow he bore. None like unto his. Nothing like what he bore. Never in the history of man had an innocent person ever taken the place of the guilty. Never. And to be made what his people are, that God might be just in pouring out punishment upon him, is beyond me. I don't know. But that is exactly what God did. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not just the iniquity of one or two, but the iniquity of all his elect people throughout every age was laid upon him. And he was made the cursed thing. And he bore the wrath of God. And he put away the wrath of God forever for his people. That's why he was able to. And he's the prophet. He's the prophet. He's not only the king. He's not only the high priest. He's the prophet. He's the one who teaches his people in the heart. He's the one who did all the little intricate things that needed to be done in every personal life of every person sitting in this room right now, this hour, to bring you right here this hour. And to bring me right here this hour. And put this very thought in my heart right this minute to tell you that he's the one that does this, to bring his people to hear his gospel. Because he made the sun, he can turn it back 10 degrees if he wants to. You think he's going to have much trouble redirecting your path when you wanted to go somewhere else today? I want to see you all here, and I want to see you here. This is one thing that I have, one great consolation I have. If you're here, God did the gathering. And if you're not, it might be our own rebellion that makes us not be here, but this is certain. If God wanted you here, you'd be here. That's right. That's certain. That's certain. And he spake, this one who is the prophet, and he said, "I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The sun shines, and when it shines, just out there in nature every day, when the sun is shining, you go out there and walk today, you're going to walk in the sun. Whether you want to or not, you're going to walk in the light. Because you can't stop it. You can't stop it. And this one who says, "I am the light," says, "He that believeth on me, he that followeth me, he won't walk in darkness. He's going to have the light of life." And that's the other thing that is this light is the same as the dawning of the day. It's irresistible. It's irresistible. You can resist me. And you can, and you will. You'll resist every word I'm telling you right now until this day star dawns in your heart. You will do that. But when you hear it, this day star dawns, you can't stop it. The Holy Spirit of God, Lord Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he used the illustration of the wind. He said the wind blows wherever it wills. You can hear it. You can hear the sound of it. You can see the effects of it. But you can't stop it. It's coming. You can't stop the wind. And the Holy Spirit of God uses the same illustration here with the sun, the day star. When it comes up, try to stop it. Get out there and do whatever crazy thing comes into your heart and try to stop the sun from coming up. It ain't happening. It's coming up. The sun is coming up. When this star rises in the heart of one of his children of grace, there ain't anybody going to stop it. That you mothers and fathers got children that you're worried about, concerned about, and they're trying to run wild. I can tell you from this one standing right here in front of you, I was that child. I was that child. I was that child running headlong straight away from my mother and my father. I can tell you, I won't tell you, but I know what the child is doing. I know exactly what they're doing. I've done it. If it's there to be done, I've done it. And God stopped me dead in my tracks. Stopped me dead in my tracks. That's consolation to a mother and a father, to a sister and a brother, to somebody that loves their child and wants to see them come. Nothing's going to hinder the Son of Righteousness from shining. They're going to have the light. If it's determined for them, they're going to have it. And when He starts this work, He don't ever stop it either. When that sun comes up, it starts from one side in the east, and it starts going, and you can't stop it. It's going to make its circuit. You can't stop it. And it's the same with this light. He that's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be little clouds all we want to and get all dark and grumpy and try to rain and scream and shout and thunder and lightning, but we're not stopping this sun from shining. When He comes, shines in the heart, He's going to make the clouds roll back and He's going to make the sun shine, and we're not stopping it. He'll keep this work going from that day forward. But there's some things that may appear different about the breaking of the day. You know, for some, this light comes suddenly. That's how it came in the case of Saul of Tarsus. It came suddenly. But for some, like Nicodemus, it came very slowly. It came very slowly. You may be like the blind man. He was given sight, and he said, he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. His vision was very blurred. He had some sight, but he couldn't see clearly. I mean, all we see at first are clouds. We see the clouds of our corrupt nature, and it almost overwhelms us with despair. That's going to be the same. You're going to see some light. When you have some light, you're going to see something about what you are, the darkness you are. That's going to be the same. But it may come a different way. Some days the sun comes up and it's cloudy outside, and we don't see the sun shining like we do on other days. But the sun's still there. It's still the same sun shining, even though there's some clouds in the way. And the sun's going to shine through. What do you do in that case? And now let me talk to you who are sitting here right now who are experiencing this, and you believe you got some light, and you start to see some things about yourself and about the Lord. What do you do when that is the case? And you this thing you can't see clearly, you don't know. You think you know, but you just don't know. I think I see, but it's blurry to me still. What do you do? Wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. When Christ is arisen in your soul, you will know it. You will be able to do nothing else but repent from your sins and believe on Him and follow Him. That's certain. And intellectual, logic, understanding, that's not saving faith. It's not saving faith. I'm not interested in what you know. That's not saving faith. Christ quickens the inner man into irresistible desire for Christ. He creates a good lust in the heart. He creates a lusting for a hunger and a thirsting after righteousness, after Him who is our righteousness. And when His light shines, He claims the entire being. He claims you. And you'll know it when that light shines. It drowns out. This light is so brilliant, it drowns out all the natural light that we thought was light that we were walking in. Hey, you ever have the light shine so in your heart that you sit there and wonder, is this the first time I've ever seen the light? That's how brilliant this light is. It drowns out all light. He tells us to forget those things that are behind. When He shines His light, He'll make us forget them. I gave you that illustration one time of how we used to shine the spotlight on the traffic lights out in the street, and you shine a candle power spotlight on a street light, and the street light just goes out. He thinks it's daylight. Well, that's what all that little natural light that was a kindling of our sparks that we thought was light. When this light shines, it'll make that light be nothing. It'll make that light be nothing. I want to give you this. I'm going to run a little short here, I think, but Psalm 19. Let's look at this. We got time. Psalm 19. In natural creation, when the Lord made this atmosphere, He made it a tabernacle for the natural sun. In the new birth, the believer's newly created heart is made a tabernacle for Christ the Son. And he enlightens the eyes. Look at this. Psalm 19:5. It says here, verse 4, he says at the end there that he set a tabernacle for the Son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. And you get the picture of the Son coming up in the east and strong, running the course from east to west. Running the court like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a strong man set to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. That's exactly how this word will be when it comes into the heart. Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That's what it'll do. That's what it'll do when it comes forward. Look to Christ, the light of God's glory. Don't look to self. Don't look to knowledge. Don't look to experience. Don't look to a profession. Surest way you know you're looking to a profession is when you can't let a profession go. When you keep on bringing that up. And that's gonna tune your organ on every note you hit. Your profession is. I tell you, your tuner's out of tune. Your organ's going to be untuned. This is the truth right here. Don't look to that. Read this word seeking Christ's face, not the saved face. Now, the Scriptures tell us that the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Now, let's talk about this in light of the believer who's waiting on that perfect day when Christ returns and that light will shine, that day star shall arise. As of right now, you who believe, we're still in the twilight before the perfect daybreak of glory. That's where we are. Even though we believe, even though we have the light of Christ, for now, shadows surround us. And we see very, very little. But every artist, anybody that paints a picture knows this. In order for there to be an object to stand out on that canvas, there's got to be light and there's got to be darkness. It's got to be both. And all these shadows and all this darkness that we have to go through in this life is needful for us to be set and our eyes set solely on the object of our faith, who is Christ the Lord. That's necessary. There's shadows of spiritual ignorance that's yet in our path. We understand by God's grace, but how little we understand. We know Christ by His grace, but how little we really know. We don't know much at all. We know in part. Paul said, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That's what Peter's talking about. Peter said, it's almost here for me. I've seen how the Lord's told me I must put off this tabernacle. It's almost here for me, Peter said. But he said, Paul said that when that is come that's perfect, then that which is in part will be done away. I came up here, and most everybody that's sitting here now that's 15, 16, 17 years old, the things that you enjoyed, the things that you liked when I moved here 4 years ago or 4.5 years ago, now you think, those are childish things. I put those things away. I don't like those things anymore. I don't think like that anymore. I put those things away. Because when you were a child, you thought as a child, you spoke as a child, but when you became older, when you grow up, you put away childish things. Paul said that's exactly how this day is. It's like a day for children. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I'm known. There are even cloudy days when we can't see Christ. There's cloudy days when we can't even see Christ the light. Job said, I went mourning without the sun. I stood up and I cried in the congregation. Look over at Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Unless we're walking in the light that God has given us, unless we're walking in the light as He is in the light, we're not able to detect when we're without the light. I hope you let that sink in. when we're not heeding the light that God's given us, we don't even know how misled we are by the light we have. Give diligence to dwell as closely to Christ the light as you can. Give heed to Christ's word as much and as often as you can. We do well to take heed to this gospel until that day dawn, until that perfect day come. We do heed to hear and search his word. Look at Hebrews 2:1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Go over to Hebrews 10:25. We're talking about this dawning of the perfect day of glory, the dawning of that perfect day when Christ returns, the Son of Righteousness in the brilliance of the noonday sun in all his majesty and glory. We see here in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. So much the more as you see that day approaching. The most important thing is to gather with your brethren and hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing. Each believer's presence matters. And never think otherwise. Each believer's presence matters. We have the thought, we think, well, it won't hurt if I don't show up. Imagine if you were the only one that did, and everybody else had that thought and said, it won't hurt if I don't show up, and you were the only one that did show up. Is that discouraging for your brethren when you're missing? You didn't know you were that important, did you? If so, it's that discouraging for your brethren when you're missing. Give heed so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, look at Job 37. I want you to see this. We face some shadowy clouds and strong winds of providence as we're trying to go through this life too. Look at Job 37, verse 21. Now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Now you think about that verse. God often uses strong wind and of painful providence to cleanse us, to strip us, to bring us to where we're supposed to be, to his feet. He often does that. But even in those dark, dark clouds, in those strong, strong winds, when we can't see, faith that knows that Christ is our light, faith which knows Christ is our light, even when I can't see the brilliance of his light, I know, I believe, I trust him. Faith that trusts that Christ is our light, even in the troubling clouds, will be guided by the bright light that is in the clouds. We'll be guided by Christ the light and not taken away by troubling clouds. You understand that? That faith's strengthened through this word. It's take heed to this word. Even when we can't see him, even when that strong wind of providence and we can't see the bright light in the clouds, by faith we walk, not by sight. And we know that he's guiding his children. And he's going to guide us, and we won't fall away in that strong wind and that dark cloud. Don't live so much with our eye on this day. Don't live so much with our eye on these present clouds and these present troubles and these things that we go through. Live with your eye set on the horizon of the future glory. Paul said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Live this life looking for that day. And then there's the valley of the shadow of death. That's a valley of shadow we go through. You know, it was never as dark on this earth, ever, ever. Not before and not since. It's never been as dark on this earth as it was when our Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross. Never. When the light of the world bowed his head to bear the sin of his people and the wrath of punishment that was due to his people, the sun, the natural sun, bowed to him and refused to shine. And there's never been the light of God's glory shining so bright in the middle of that darkness. The greatest moment in the history of this world, right there at Calvary's tree. Christ the light, putting away the sin of his people. Well, he's risen now. He's risen now. And here's the sweetness of this light. Here's the sweetness of it. Because of his death, because he conquered death, because he so destroyed death. Death is just a shadow to a believer. It's just a shadow. There's no substance to it. That, as cheap as it is, it's got some substance to it. Death's just a shadow. There's no sting to it anymore because Christ put away the sting. He's put away the sin of his people. And for the believer, there's no sting to it. It's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. He said, if a man keep my sayings, he'll never die. We'll be like Simeon in that day. By his grace, the same grace that called you in the first hour, the same grace that's kept you every hour, the same grace you need today will be the grace that God gives to his child when we face that dark shadow. And he shines the brilliance of his light and makes it appear, makes the shadow flee away. And we'll be like Simeon, who held the light in his hands and said, now, Lord, I can depart in peace. I've seen your salvation. When does that day dawn for the believer? When's the day star rise for the believer? In the heart of the believer. Sometimes we close our eyes at night, and you close your eyes at night, and you lay down and just go straight to sleep, and it's in just that quick, it's time to open up your eyes again and time to wake up. That fast. You see that dear saint? That dear saint who's trust the Lord, that God's called them by his grace. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're up in years. Maybe they're aged. Maybe they're whatever the case. But you see them take their last breath of this sin-cursed toxic air. The very next breath is in the perfect atmosphere of perfected holiness. That day star just dawned in their heart. That breaking of the eternal day just dawned. Can't you just picture it? But for others, there's going to be some that will be here still when he returns. And he's going to come back. And that day star is going to dawn when he comes the second time to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all those who believe. And it'll be the same kind of thing. It'll be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be with him. Well, I want to close. I want you to turn over to Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Just before, a few pages before the first chapter of Isaiah. In just a little while, I tried to tell the kids Thursday, Friday night, would you bankroll your whole eternal soul on the time span you have between now and when that jug of milk in the refrigerator meets that expiration date and expires? Would you just give up everything for that little space of time between now and when that jug of milk in the refrigerator spoils? It's not very long. Not very long. That's what we do if we spend 90 years of this life living for this world and die and meet God without Christ. It's just that long. We just wasted it, just like on an expired jug of milk. It's just going to be a little while, and the day's going to break, and the shadows are going to flee away, and the believer's going to bathe our souls in Christ's full, unclouded, endless light. It's going to be as the light of the morning, when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds. We like a bright, sunny day, don't we? It's going to be like that. There's going to be no need of the sun, going to be no need of the moon. John said the glory of that city God lit lights it. And he said, and the Lamb's the light thereof. You think on that day. Think about the day when you'll see him as he is. Think on the day when there won't be any more night of sin or any of its effects. It'll all be gone. Now, the exhortation in our text is very simple. It's very simple. God have to make us believe and walk. But the exhortation is very simple that a child could understand it. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until, from now until, the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Now let's heed this word of exhortation. Let's heed it. We do well to take heed to these scriptures. But don't just go home now and say, well, I heard all that. Go home and search the scriptures. See if these things are so. The notes will be on freegracemedia.com by the time, is it .com or .net? freegracemedia.com by the time you get home this afternoon, get settled down where you can read it. They'll be there. Pull them up and read them again. And look the scriptures up and see if this is so. Look here at this verse. I like this. Solomon 4:6. Until that day breaks, and the shadows flee away, I'll get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Brethren, if the day breaks between now and next Thursday, I see you, my fellow believers, in the mountain of myrrh. We'll be there at his feet. But if not, I'm coming to this hill of frankincense where I can worship him in the mountain of myrrh. That's where I'm coming. How about you? I do pray that God will give us the light to take heed. And I hope to see you then. Amen.